The following podcast is a glimpse into the life of Ecclesia Houston. We pray it is a blessing as you seek to follow Jesus, the liberating King, and live in his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven.
Well, I'm in a really interesting season in my life. And what makes it particularly interesting, at least for me, is that for whatever reason, over the last couple of years, God has given me opportunity to be at a lot of conferences and gatherings where other Christians from around the country are coming together and learning and sharing and growing. And I tell you that not to tell you something about me, but to share something that I have noticed. And here's what it is. That increasingly, when I get on a stage or a platform, that the people who are gathered together have reached in their purses or their pockets and they pull out their phones. Now, when they pull out these phones, like they're not pulling them out to like scroll through social media, at least that's what I want to believe. And they're not pulling them out to take notes. They're pulling them out to take pictures. They just increasingly, like people right in the middle of doing something, people are getting out a picture and someone will be on stage and they will take a picture and I will get back to my house or get back to a hotel room. And I want to tell you all, you are taking the most unflattering pictures of me. And you should know, like we have really great photographers on our staff who do that for a living. We don't need you. And so this weird thing that keeps happening that people are taking these pictures and posting them. And these are not pictures that I'm posing for. Like I'm always like in the middle of some weird motion or my mouse in a strange position that if you weren't there, it wouldn't make any sense. But people are just posting them. And look, just because you bought a phone with a camera on it does not make you a photographer. Like, learn some skills. I mean, you wanna know like how to look like a disfigured giant? Have people take a bunch of pictures of you when you're up here and they are all down there. Suddenly, I am 11 foot tall. And I just don't understand it. Every time someone pulls out these phones, I ask myself, like, what is this picture for? Like, what are you gonna do with this thing? Because there's not a bone in my body that thinks that when you left the house this morning, someone said to you, don't you dare come back here without a picture of Sean Palmer. This spring, I was speaking at a conference and this very sweet older lady comes up to me after and she knows my mom. And she says, I took a picture of you speaking and I sent it to your mom. To which I thought, I'm pretty sure my mom knows what I look like. And not only that, like she knows where I am. She books all of my travel. That's what Find My is for. It's not just for your teenagers. My mom knows exactly where I am anytime that she wants to know. And so last month, I was at a conference in Dallas and they had asked me to come and do the closing keynote of this conference. So it was the last thing. But they'd asked me to speak for 25 minutes. And since it was the last one, there was a bunch of stuff ahead of me. So they had a worship set and then these people were gonna get up and share their story. And because it was the last session, they were having all of these awards that they were giving to people. So it was a full hour before I had to do anything. But because I was speaking at that last session, I did what I normally do and I sat right down front. Just makes it easy for everybody. But down the aisle from me, there was a guy who had his phone out and was recording the whole thing. And I ask again, like, what is this video for? So I started thinking about the most generous option I could. So maybe this is really important and special, meaningful for him, and he's going to record this whole thing so that he can watch it back later. But then I was reminded, no. Like, he paid a registration fee. Part of what you get as a registration is that all of the things, all of the sessions are recorded, and you can watch it back anytime. So it can't be that. And then I wondered, well, maybe he knows somebody who wishes that they could be here, but they can't, and he's just like FaceTiming it in real time for them to watch. And then I remembered, no, because part of what you get with the video is that this is being live streamed right now. So if you're someplace and you wanted to watch it, you just watch the live stream, be much better quality. And I don't get what all this is for. And we live in this weird time that people, that you and I struggle to be in the room with the people who are in the room. So 3 years ago, I was speaking at a college campus, and I said something that I shouldn't have said. And I know that I shouldn't have said it because I got email about it later. And so what happened was that whenever our schedule in real time got off of the printed schedule, like, we would stop and we would say, we'll be back at a certain time. And the reason that we were doing that is because all of this was online. People were watching online. And so we would have to do all of these weird breaks to keep the schedule in real time for the people online. And so when it got to be my session, I got up and I said, I'm gonna go ahead and start because I don't care about the people online. And I know I shouldn't have said it. But here's what I was thinking. The people in the room had flown there or driven there. They were paying two nights in a hotel. They paid a registration fee, and the people online were just watching it for free. They were paying for all their meals. And it didn't seem right to me that we would prioritize the people who did the least over the people who did the most. But I also know that in our world, that we care more now, for whatever reason, for the people who aren't in the room, more than we care about the people who are in the room. That virtually nothing happens for us that we don't capture, share, and post, because somewhere along the line, we became people who are forever elsewhere. Just never right here. Just forever elsewhere. And this last year, a social psychologist that I really like named Jonathan Haidt wrote a book called The Anxious Generation. And this is what he says in The Anxious Generation. He says, a phone is an experience blocker. That means you spend a lot less time talking to other people, in the presence of other people. You're not with your friends. And I tell you that because this is the first Sunday of Advent. And if you've been around Ecclesia for more than a year, you know that each Advent we participate in what we call Advent conspiracy. And what that is about pushing against this time of year, Advent and Christmas, being about consumption and consumerism. But it'd be about celebrating Jesus and anticipating Jesus and joining God with the work that he's doing in the world. And so every year when we come to this time, we talk about four things, these four tenets of Advent conspiracy: worship fully, spend less, give more, love all. And so what I'm supposed to do today is talk about the invitation that God might have for us about what it means to worship fully. And so I've spent a lot of time thinking about what it means to worship fully. And then late one night when I couldn't sleep, I was prompted by a question from the Holy Spirit. And it was simply this: when was the last time you did anything fully? Anything. That you were actually in it. That you were there. In Romans 12, the Apostle Paul talks about worship, and he basically says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God, for this is your spiritual act of worship. And what he means is that everything you do is an act of worship. How you talk to your spouse or your children, your parents, how you conduct yourself at work, how you drive, how you live, everything you do is an act of worship. But how can you worship fully if you can't do anything fully? You can't be in anything. How do you worship fully in a culture that has trained all of us to be forever elsewhere? And the reality of life is that being fully in the moment, fully in the thing that you are doing, that this is crucial. It is critical for spiritual development. Richard Rohr writes about it this way. He says, all spiritual teaching, this is not an oversimplification, is how to be present in, to be present to the moment. When you're present, you will experience the presence. The core of what it means to be a spiritually formed person is to be in the moment that you are in. And so the most famous Christmas passage in the world is from Luke 2. And if you've been around a couple of years, you've heard me say that most of the things that you decorated your house with last week, or if you're decorating for Christmas this week, most of the things that you decorate, all the nativity sets and angels and shepherds and all of that's from Luke 2. It's not in the other gospels. It's from Luke 2. Your house is not decorated for Christmas. Your house is decorated for Luke 2. And this is part of the story that Luke tells us in chapter 2. He says, nearby, in the fields outside of Bethlehem, a group of shepherds were guarding their flocks from predators in the darkness of night. Suddenly, a messenger of the Lord stood in front of them, and the darkness was replaced by a glorious light, the shining light of God's glory. They were terrified. The messenger says, don't be afraid. Listen, I bring good news, news of great joy, news that will affect all people everywhere. Today in the city of David, a liberator has been born for you. He is the promised anointed one, the supreme authority. You will know you have found him when you see a baby wrapped in a blanket lying in a feeding trough. At that moment, the first heavenly messenger was joined by thousands of other messengers, a vast heavenly choir. They praised God, singing to the highest heights of the universe, glory to God. And on earth, peace among all people who bring pleasure to God. As soon as the heavenly messengers disappeared into heaven, the shepherds were buzzing with conversation. So this is a story that you've heard. The shepherds are out in the field. They get a visit from an angel. This angel tells them about Jesus. And suddenly the whole heavens are filled with angels singing. But look what happens next. The shepherds say to each other, let's rush down to Bethlehem right now. Let's see what's happening. Let's experience what the Lord has told us about. So they ran into town, and eventually they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a feeding trough, and they saw the baby. They spread the story of what they had experienced and what had been said to them about this child. Everyone who heard their story couldn't stop thinking about its meaning. Mary, too, pondered all of these events, treasuring each memory in her heart. So Luke says, the shepherds get this visit from an angel, and the angel starts singing. And then the shepherds go and they visit the baby Jesus, and they start going and telling everyone that they can find about what they had experienced. And when you and I kind of think about the word worship, we think about stuff like that. We think about singing and sharing about Jesus. Those are the kinds of imaginations we have when someone mentions the word worship. But that's not what Mary does. Luke says that she pondered them in her heart. Like the literal translation is treasuring up, stored in her heart. That's interesting that Mary never writes a book about the birth of Jesus, and neither does Joseph or anyone in their family. The most we know is that at some point along the line, she told Luke, or Luke pried it out of her in some way. What we're told about Mary is that she stored it. She treasured it in her heart, that Mary knew what it was like to be fully in a moment and to allow that moment to be fully in her. And there's no English word for pondering in her heart. The closest that we can get is that she held it as sacred, unique, and special. And while the angels are singing and the shepherds are telling, Mary's act of worship was treasuring this moment, storing it up, holding it as sacred. So in a world like ours, maybe the task for some of us this Advent isn't so much that we've got to find some new way to worship fully. Maybe the task for some of us is to figure out how to be fully in the moments that we're in. And so, Ecclesia, this is my question for all of us. How can you be fully present as an act of worship? Fully present to your work, fully present to your kids, fully present to your parents, your grandparents, your spouse, to actually be here now and resist a world that is constantly inviting all of us to be forever elsewhere. And some a few places that you might want to consider getting started. Like, this is an exhaustive list. This is just my list. You could probably come up with something way better, but maybe a little bit of something to help us get handles on being present as an act of worship. And maybe we should just start with choosing delight over documentation. Like, I have seen some of your posts on Instagram of your house, all decorated for Christmas. And for some of you, I have been to your houses, and those two things are not the same thing. But it exists for the documentation. And so, this holiday season, when you're gathered with friends at a party or with your family, like if you're taking 20 pictures of your kids to get the right one, like maybe you're more worried about your followers than your family. I grew up in the 80s. My parents have 5 pictures of me. That's it. Just 5. And the pictures are what they are. If one of us is in a bad mood that day, or a tie wasn't straight, or I've got pictures of me in school with my shoes on the wrong feet. But that's actual life, and not curated life. It's the people we actually were. And when my mom shows the picture to her friends of me with shoes on the wrong feet, that brings her much more delight than a picture with shoes on the right feet. And in a world like ours, that is just consumed with grievance and anger and pretend. Delight is actually resistance to that world. That I'm going to enjoy this moment with the people God has brought into my life in this season. And I'm not going to try and make it look otherwise. It is what it is. So this holiday season, like, take your photos and then just set down your phone. And then others of us might need to learn to wait. And I'm adapting this from something that one of our staff members talked about, this acronym WAIT, which is actually for meetings in your workplace, which stands for asking yourself, why am I talking? Which I wish more people would do in meetings. But this question, why am I taking this? Like, why am I taking this picture? Why am I getting this video? Like, who does it serve? What's it for? About 2 months ago, I'm talking to one of my good friends, and she was sharing with me about this reel on Instagram that she posted and how excited she was that it got over 1,000 views. And I asked her, why is that important? And she honestly didn't know. We have just supposed that the people who are not in the room are more important than the people who are in the room. And this is gonna sound harsh, but I say it out of love. This is what you need to know. The people out there don't love you. They don't care about you. And why on earth would you trade the attention of people who don't care about you for the attention of people who do? Like, is this drawing me away? What I am sitting here doing, is it drawing me away from the people in the room? Am I capturing something meaningful? Or I'm just captured by social media? And then for a lot of us, we just have to choose our heart over our hard drives. So I am one of those people who has cameras other than the one on my phone. And so in the past few years, one of the great joys that I've experienced is that groups and people have asked me to come and serve as their photographer for performances and events. It started when I was a photographer for my youngest daughter, Kate's events. And so I really enjoy doing it. It's a lot of fun. You get to see a lot of things you wouldn't see otherwise. But here's what happens. Like, when you show up to a performance with a big camera, people who you don't know ask you to take pictures of their kids. And then there are these other things. Like, there's a dance in the middle of the show, or someone's gonna come out and do a cartwheel, and you wanna get all of those. And I realized last year that I was in one of the shows in which my youngest daughter, Kate, was actually in, that I was so concerned with getting a picture of this thing over here that I totally missed what she was doing on stage over here. And like, my children are my heart. So Kate has this wonderful friend, Kieran. And when all the girls go out to eat together, Kieran has this thing that she says when any of them pick up their phone. And Kieran says, hang up, and hang out. My wife Rochelle is an only child, and her dad died a little over 21 years ago. And before he died, she asked him, as they were flipping through their family photo albums, why there were so few pictures of her in the family photo album. And what you need to know is that's weird because Rochelle is an only child. And he told her, when you were a kid, I didn't want to spend my time behind a camera. I don't know how many of you have heard about this, but next weekend, there's a really important football game in Atlanta, Georgia, between the University of Texas Longhorns and the Georgia Bulldogs. It is the SEC championship. Now, my youngest daughter, my oldest daughter rather, is, you're gonna go to the whole game? You're gonna do it all the time? I'm not lying. Last night during the game, every time the Longhorns had the ball in the red zone, my wife stood like this until they scored. She has little tics like that. Well, the University of Texas is playing University of Georgia next week. And as some of you know, my oldest daughter, Malia, is a junior at the University of Texas. But I was raised in Georgia. And my mom lives 17 miles from Athens, Georgia. And if you don't know what Athens, Georgia is the home of the University of Georgia. And my brother was a huge University of Georgia fan. And so as some of you know, a year and a half ago, my brother died. And leading up to this game, I've thought a lot about like what this week would look like if he were still alive. And him being a big time University of Georgia fan and his niece at the University of Texas. And I bet when the game was over last night, I would have cashed in a bunch of United points and flown to Atlanta and stayed with my mom and met my brother. We would have paid what we had to pay to get tickets and do all the things that brothers do, like talk trash and tease each other. We're not gonna do that. And what I want you to know, these moments don't last. The people you are in the room with, it doesn't last. And whether that's at work or with your family, and we spend so much time and energy being forever elsewhere and miss the people who are in the room. There's this Christmas song that I like, but makes absolutely no sense. It's called Mary, Did You Know? And if you haven't heard Mary, Did You Know? It's this Christmas song where the singer asked Mary a series of questions about Jesus. And like, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? And the answer is yes, because an angel told her all of this at the beginning of the Gospels. But here's what Mary knows that we sometimes forget. people are sacred. And our moments in real life with real people are sacred. And when you ask yourself the question that you already know the answer to, who do I want to be with? All of those people, or the people in the room? Because people are not tools to help us get what we want. People are not showpieces for us to declare to the rest of the world who we are and what we're doing. People are not to be used. They are sacred. You are sacred. And maybe this Advent is a great time to begin to treat one another that way.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information, please visit our website at www.ecclesiahouston.org.